Yeah, well. So, the bride will become just like Jesus and will be prepared as Jesus was prepared. She will be, to a degree, his personification. That you could see the bride and see Jesus. There's a preparation for the bride, but the preparation for the bride will be, there will be parallels to the way in which Jesus himself was prepared. And so this is something which I had seen recently, that actually in the way that Jesus' preparation was in the wilderness, Jesus went through a period of 40 days of fasting where he was led, after his baptism, he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness where he fasted for 40 days, and there he was tempted by Satan. He was tempted by the enemy. So we're still talking about the bride in the wilderness, but now I'm looking at the parallel between Jesus and the bride, and also as Jesus himself was in that period of the wilderness, and there were three temptations that came to Jesus, so also I believe that there are three temptations that the bride will be tested with. So the Lord is in the Holy Spirit leading the bride into a place where I believe there is a parallel between the temptations that Jesus had and also the temptations that will come to the bride and temptations that the bride is facing today. Amen. She will go through and replicate and complement who he is. To be compatible with Jesus, you could argue, would be to be prepared in the same way that he was prepared. Why should the bride be anything less? Amen. So there are temptations that come to the bride when she finds herself being led by the Holy Spirit, yet she finds the enemy will come and will present to her three temptations. Amen. The first temptation that Jesus had, it says, after 40 days, he was hungry. And Satan comes and tempts Jesus. And he says, if you are hungry, then turn these stones into bread. If you are hungry, then turn these stones into bread. The temptation is to satisfy human craving by spiritual power. To satisfy our craving by spiritual power. Jesus was hungry, and it was presented to him that the opportunity that he didn't need to be hungry anymore, that if he exercised spiritual power, he could turn the stones into bread. Why be hungry? Why be hungry? Here comes the temptation. Why be in the place that you are? Why do you need to suffer in the way that you are? Why do you need to be tested in such a way? Surely, it says in the Word, surely you have power that actually you can use the power that you have to satisfy your human craving. Hallelujah. And Jesus' response was, it is written, that man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. There is spiritual food, and he was prioritizing and raising above that actually, that what would satisfy him wasn't the earthly food, but was spiritual food. Was spiritual food. That he would not yield the power that was available to him to satisfy his human hunger. Amen. There is a temptation today to satisfy human craving, human desire, by the power that's hid or that's there in the Word of God. For example, we may see that we feel, or we may see that we have a need. There may be a situation or a circumstance, and we may feel like we can exercise some kind of power in order to meet that human need. We may look at declaring certain promises. We may look at making application, well, if I proclaim something, maybe I can get it. If I pronounce something, if I declare something, if I claim something, if I find a scripture that I can speak out, then maybe this something can come back to me that will meet my physical need. There's different applications for that, but I believe one of those, a temptation, is in this teaching of prosperity. The prosperity teaching. So here we go, a bit of turbulence. Exits to the left and to the right. I mean, so is it wrong to ask Father for our need? No. If we can come to Him, that we can ask Him for our need, but therein lies a grave and subtle danger, that actually that we can employ the Word of God and exercise the Word of God, but actually do so in an incorrect manner. Actually, because there's something inside of us, but rather than receiving the spiritual food that we need, that's going to satisfy us, that's going to fulfill that craving that we feel, we seek to satisfy our craving, but not by spiritually, but by physically. I will be better when. My life will improve when. My circumstances will change when. But you can never satisfy human spiritual hunger by earthly food. There is an appetite, there is a hunger that the bride has. She is hungry. The bride is hungry. And the temptation that will come to the bride is your hunger. You can meet that hunger if you exercise the Word of God in such a way to meet your physical need. Seeing being the bride is a way to meet and to provide for your physical need and your physical circumstance. But spiritual hunger and the hunger of the bride cannot be met by physical food. Hallelujah. There's something that's deeper, something that she craves for. There's a hunger that she has for Him. And Jesus said that man shall not live on bread alone. He exalted the Word of God and the bread of God over the bread, physical bread, spiritual bread. The Word of God, He exalted that. They said, I will live by what comes from His mouth. Amen. And so as the bride is learning to satisfy her hunger by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. The bride does not need to be pretentious. She doesn't need to be brash or to be offensive or to be proclamational. The bride is content to be in Him. Her satisfaction and the craving of her heart and the appetite that she has is met by the pure Word, that living Word, Jesus, that Word of God is coming to satisfy the spiritual hunger. She will not be tempted or allured away by the cravings of the flesh or by the satisfaction of any earthly appetite, but has learned to suppress earthly appetite and magnify the Word of God over those things. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Yeah, Jesus was tempted, but why was he was tempted? Because he was hungry. And what I'm saying is there's a hunger that the bride has. She's hungry, and there's a temptation to meet that hunger with earthly things. There's a temptation to meet that hunger with other things, but the bride is learning to satisfy that hunger coming out of his word, living word, to feed her. She's feeding on him. She's feeding on his word. His word is sustaining her. His word is ministering to her. His word is satisfying the appetite that she has. There's no other food, there's no other thing that can meet that hunger that she has, that craving she has as a spiritual craving. It cannot be fulfilled in any other way. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So then, it says that Satan took Jesus to a very high place, to a mountain, to a high place, and there showed him all of the kingdoms of the earth. And it says, if you bow down and worship me, then you can have all of these kingdoms. These kingdoms you can have if you bow down and worship me. Hallelujah. There is a temptation to want the kingdom ahead of time. The kingdom, the Bible says that Father would give the kingdom, that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. That Jesus knew that the kingdoms would be his. But here is an opportunity, here is an offer that the kingdoms of this world, Satan was there, would then give to him at that time on the condition that he would bow the knee to worship Satan. So the temptation was to receive the kingdom ahead of time. Amen. But he didn't need to do that. He didn't need to do that. But he said that to worship the Lord thy God and him only. Amen. So what am I saying? I'm saying that there is a parallel between the temptations that Jesus had and the temptations that have come to the bride. And the temptation to the bride is to want the kingdom before the king. Is to want the kingdom ahead of time. And there may be a compromise that we can bow the knee in order to receive the kingdom ahead of time. Hallelujah. We have been given the keys of the kingdom. It is right for us to be in the kingdom. It's right for us to proclaim the kingdom. It's right for us to live and to work within the kingdom. I'm not dismissing that, but I'm saying there's a very subtle danger and temptation that our gaze comes away from the king and our gaze becomes focused on the kingdom. Then we have conferences about the kingdom of God. We have books about the king, the kingdom of God in your business, the kingdom of God in here, and seminars and all kinds of training and turbulence. So I speak nothing against those things. We need to be equipped to do the work. So I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is the bride must always keep her eyes upon the king. King first, kingdom second. Because she knows that the fulfillment of the kingdom will come through her as she is in him. Amen. So often we are involved and very, very busy in matters of the kingdom. So we use the kingdom as our mandate. We use the kingdom as our license to go ahead and to be busy in the things of God. And there could be a good thing that we're doing. This could be a good projects that we're involved in, but there's a temptation that in our work in the kingdom that we can actually lose sight of the king, as though it depended upon us, as though it was down to us in some abstract, remote relationship away from the king, as though this is something that was given to us without the king, if that makes sense. Amen? So the second temptation, the bride in the wilderness, is faced today, is the attraction of the kingdom. The attraction of the kingdom that is attracted to us because we can see and we can understand and we can move forward in the kingdom. And again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be doing that, but what I'm saying is we have to be completely yoked to Him. Take my yoke upon you and to learn from me. That whatever we do, that Jesus said, I do nothing. I say nothing and I do nothing. I do nothing that I do not see my Father doing, and I say only what I've heard my Father say. So the bride has learned that it's not enough just to be busy in the kingdom of God. The bride knows it's not enough just to be busy doing the things of the kingdom. The bride's orientation, her gaze is towards the King. Because she knows that the kingdom will come to her as it will also to Jesus. But Jesus didn't need to bow the knee or to make a compromise in order to receive the kingdom ahead of time. You see. So there's this temptation, like kingdom now theology, this triumphant church idea that actually the church will be triumphant. The church will be the kingdom now and will be completely successful and dominate over all the kingdoms of this world will come and the church will be completely dominant before Jesus comes. And we don't have time to go into all of that, but what I'm saying is that the consummation of the kingdom will come in its finality when Jesus Christ Himself returns. There is much that we can do now. There is much that we need to do now. But it's the subtle attraction away from the King to the kingdom that we must be careful of. For it is a very subtle temptation. For it has the appearance of being good and may be good, but it's not necessarily expedient, not necessarily in line with His eternal purpose. That through Him and Him through His bride shall come the consummation of the kingdom. Amen? So the temptation to Jesus was, hey, I will give you all these kingdoms now if you bow the knee. But He says, no. I won't. He didn't need to bow the knee. He was completely secure in who He was. And knowing that the Father placed all things at His feet. He didn't need to make any compromise or receive anything ahead of time. He said, no, he was focused, knew His purpose, knew why He was there. To not place the kingdom ahead of time, not place the kingdom in front of the King. Amen? So then the third temptation was the Bible says that Satan then took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem. To the height, the pinnacle, the highest point of the temple in Jerusalem. Amen? And He said, if you throw yourself down, then the angels will catch you. The angels will come and protect you and will stop you and will rescue you, if you like. Will protect you. Throw yourself down from here. So where did this temptation happen? Where was it that Jesus was tempted to throw Himself down? The temptation that came to Jesus was, we call this the place of spiritual height. Spiritual elevation. Where He was led to a spiritual height. He was led to the highest point of the temple in Jerusalem, and we ourselves are being led into the highest point in the temple of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. But then it says, Satan says to them, throw yourself down from here. Hallelujah. And Jesus' response was, do not put the Lord thy God to the test. It is written. So the temptation is to go beyond what is written. And by so doing, to put the Lord God to the test. He says, interesting, this temptation is, if you are the Son of God, then why don't you prove it? If you are the bride, then why don't you prove it? Amen. If you are the Son of God, then prove it by throwing yourself down from here. Hallelujah. So this place of spiritual height gives us a perspective, enables us to see often things that we see when we're at that high place. We can begin to see things and we can begin to experience things, but the bride never needs to prove herself who she is. She never needs to throw herself down to prove who she is. Amen. Bride never needs to test God over who she is. And she does not go beyond what is written. And so this is a word of caution, if you like, is to be careful that when the Lord takes you, when you find yourself in a place of spiritual elevation, and you will begin to see things, that you do not go beyond what is written. Because the place, the destiny that God is taking us to is a place that He has already marked out within His Word. Hallelujah. If it says that He has made known the end from the beginning, what does that tell you? What does that mean to you? If God has made known the end from the beginning, it means that even before time, where He's taking us, He's already made it known. So there is a sense where we're receiving new revelation and we're receiving new things, but in the process of receiving new revelation, it is always anchored and always rooted and always grounded in the Word of God. If you hear a prophecy, if you are even tempted to usher a prophecy, or you're hearing voice and you're hearing something that was received at a spiritual height, you must be aware and understand that where is that power and where is the authority for that word coming from? Because if it's rooted in the Word of God, then the authority for that word comes from the Word of God itself. Amen. But if that word is not founded in Scripture, then we ask ourselves, well, what authority are you saying these things? By what authority are you teaching these things? And you are speaking these prophetic words, but if these things are not grounded and rooted in the principles and the consistency in the Word of God, then where, if the authority is not coming from the Word, then where is it coming from? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the bride will not be deceived, or should not and must not be deceived, but understand to never go beyond what is written. So, I'm not saying that we cannot have and we should not have and that we do not need new revelation. We need new revelation. But that revelation will come from within the Word of God. That revelation we will find that even, and you know this, that even in your own study and in your time of just seeking God in the Word, and you're thinking, why did I never see that before? God has shown you something over a passage that you have read many times. And then all of a sudden you've seen it and think, wow, I never saw that before. I know that scripture, but I never saw it that way. And even in some of the things that we've been sharing with you, these are very familiar scriptures that we've been sharing with you. And for some it's like, I never saw it that way before. But now that you have shared it, now that you have explained it, I can see God has given me revelation that was grounded within His Word. Hallelujah. There is revelation that we need in order for the journey that lies ahead of us. The revelation, the understanding that you have or you have had in the past was enough to bring you to where you are today. You are here today, whether at this conference or in your ministry or wherever you are in the things that you are doing, because of the revelation that God gave you about either about yourself or about a particular area of ministry. Or we are here today because at some point we received a revelation about something. And God spoke to us because we had a revelation about something. We go on our spiritual journey being energized and being sent because we've heard something, we've received something, we've had a revelation from God that enabled us to get from A to B and to where we are today. Amen? But the revelation that we had yesterday was enough to get us to where we are today. So we need a fresh revelation, we need a fresh understanding that does not depart away from the Word of God, but it's a different way of seeing and the Lord speaking to us through His Scripture that gives us the revelation that we need in order to take the journey that's ahead of us. So, as we have been casting vision, the way ahead, we will not get to where we need to be by doing things in the same way that we've done them in the past. Hallelujah. Things are changing. It's not like applying the things. Of course, there are things that, you know, that we've learned that we carry with us. But what I'm saying is, even the way that we do things will need to change. Because we can't get to where we need to be. It will be by revelation. It will be by the Lord leading us somewhere because we've never been this place before. When Joshua and they were in the trenches, in those places that they would had dug for themselves, he said, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of God go ahead of you, you are to move out of your positions and to follow it because you've never been this way before." By very definition, where God is leading us is somewhere we've not before. So the map that we had is no longer applicable. We need a new map. We need a compass of the Word of God to navigate our way through the map that God is giving to us. Hallelujah. That we calibrate our compass and we calibrate our instruments by the Word of God to the revelation and the vision. That's something that, like Abraham, who did not know where he was going, but he knew the architect and builder was God. So the Word of God to calibrate and become that compass to help us to navigate through this revelation. Amen. The temptation Jesus had was at that place, the pinnacle on the Tower of Jerusalem. And so we can find ourselves there, and we are there in some ways. This place of where He's lifted us up, He's raised us up. But I'm saying, in that place then lies the subtle danger of going beyond what is written. Amen? That everything that has been said, that everything that we hear, be grounded and come from the Word of God. We are living in a different time. The last scriptures that were written 2,000 years ago. Our culture has changed. Our times have changed. But there are eternal principles. The nature of God. If God is the same yesterday and today and forever, then we know that the nature of God is not going to change. Hallelujah. So there is consistency in the Word of God that transcends culture and transcends time. There is consistency there. So what I'm saying is to not go beyond what is written. The bride does not need to compromise or to prove who she is. But she is secure in who she is. And will not put the Lord her God to the test. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And in such ways, I believe the bride is being prepared. And will be prepared. The bride will go through the wilderness. And there are many other things, but I just found it a useful insight of understanding the parallel between the bride and between Jesus, understanding the duplication or the similarity between the two. And therefore, what Jesus goes through, we can also expect and understand that the bride will also go through the same. So that in my seeking God, it was asking the Lord, in what way would the bride be tempted? In what way that we could think of many other ways. But it's understand that the bride will be in the wilderness and it will be a place of temptation for her to allure her away, to attract her to other things, whether that's things of the kingdom, whether that's things about satisfying her hunger with other things other than out of her relationship and the living word, or things about actually beginning to move away, the dangerous place about moving away from what's actually written. When God takes us to that spiritual height, that we don't get so carried away that we become detached away from the Word of God itself. Because the Word of God is now and always will be our place, our source of being in Him, and in, of course, being the Word, but also what is written and the living Word, being that which will sustain the bride, will purify the bride, purified by the washing, the cleansing of the Word. The Word of God will keep the bride and help prepare the bride and to purify the bride. And the helper will be that light for her path, a lamp for her feet, a light for her path. The Word of God, not moving away from the Word of God, but knowing that all things there in the Word of God and through the Word of God, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bless you. Thank you so much.